You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi.
And I'm Katie Frankowitz. Clatsop County election results are official. The results of the May primary were certified yesterday. Voter turnout in Clatsop County landed at 42%, up from a primary election in 2024 that also included races for seats on the County Board of Commissioners. That year, voter turnout landed at only 31%. Christine Drazen remains the Republican nominee vying for Governor Tina Kotek's seat. Rachel Armitage, a Democrat, will face Courtney Bangs, a Republican and current Clatsop County Commissioner, in the State Senate District 16 race. Tillamook's Max Sherman, a Republican, will challenge State Representative Cyrus Javity, a Democrat, for the District 32 seat. The certified results also solidified approval of firefighter funding and continued water fluoridation in Warrenton, but also spelled out the failure of measures to fund school operations and city facilities in Seaside and Gearhart. Mark Quayla, who ran unopposed to retain his seat on the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners, will be joined by new commissioners Rand Dufka and Mike Brocious. The current commissioners for those seats, Leanne Thompson and Pam Webb, both opted not to run for re-election and supported Dufka and Brocious in their bids for the seats. November's general election will decide the races for governor, state senator, and state representative. The last day to register to vote for that election is October 13th. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Historian, online at dailyhistorian.com.
Tillamook County District Attorney Aubrey Olson's stipend from the county will be discontinued starting July 1st. Olson's $20,000 stipend through Tillamook County leaders supplements the salaries she receives from the Oregon Department of Justice. At a recent meeting, county commissioners said they will take a vote on a resolution of no confidence in Olson in their next meeting to formalize their dissatisfaction with her performance. Last fall, the commissioners initiated an investigation into Olson's office after the county's Human Resources Department received multiple complaints about office staff. The investigation found a lack of competency in court proceedings, failure to consider the safety of victims of crimes, inadequate training by Olson, and a pattern of poor relationships with law enforcement. Olson fought back against the report before it was completed, initially serving the county with a notice of intent to file a tort claim in February, before pivoting to issuing several subpoenas seeking information on the whistleblower, a deputy in the Tillamook County Sheriff's Office. After obtaining the subpoenas, Olson recused herself from the case and retained a criminal defense attorney to represent the state. County commissioners say the county's top priority needs to be protecting the whistleblower from what they say is Olson's attempted retaliation. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. A bipartisan group of senators, including Oregon Democrat Jeff Merkley, are demanding the National Science Foundation halt its plans to dismantle the Vital Ocean Observatories Initiative. The Ocean Observatories Initiative is a complex system of 900 ocean monitoring instruments that provide crucial data for coastal communities, fishermen, and nationwide emergency preparedness. It was set to run for another 15 to 20 years, but the National Science Foundation under the Trump administration faces a 55% budget cut. The foundation has directed the removal of the system off the West Coast and elsewhere. Scientists said they had no warning of the decision. Now the senators argue dismantling the initiative would impact the collection of real-time, publicly available data off the coast, making it harder to track ocean conditions and extreme weather events. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
As drought conditions intensify, two Oregon agencies are helping local governments spread the word about conserving water. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports.
The Oregon Departments of Emergency Management and Water Resources are providing a toolkit to small local governments and utilities who want to offer people new ways to conserve water. Emergency Management Public Information Officer Aaron Zizit says people in more populated counties may not see the message as much.
But we have a lot of small counties and rural areas in Oregon that have one person that's wearing five hats, and they may not have time to put together social media cards and some messaging around conservation.
And the toolkit could also help other groups, such as small water utilities. More than 80% of Oregon is in some stage of drought, and 2 million people live in those areas. Zach Ziegler, KLCC News.
There's a red flag warning for much of central Washington and central Oregon, with high winds expected, up to 45-mile-per-hour gusts. Several large-scale fires are burning across the Columbia River Basin. The Tule Fire, OIE Fire, the Juniper Dunes Fire, plus another fire in the gorge area called the Highway 730 Twin Sisters Fire. Air quality in central Washington is deteriorating. Dennis Bates is the chief of Benton County Fire District 2 in Benton City in southeast Washington. He says people in the Northwest should check with their local emergency management agency and make sure they download the appropriate phone app for notifications.
That is a tool that we use to notify anytime there's, you know, disasters or dangers to the public. So make sure that that's there.
He says this is going to be a very long fire season, with fires acting more like August than June. And 4th of July is just weeks away.
Housing concerns are moving to the forefront as Pacific County leaders review a state-required housing needs assessment. As part of a multi-year process to update the county's comprehensive plan, the Pacific County Planning Commission will complete an inventory and analysis of existing and projected housing needs that cover the next two decades. Under Washington's Growth Management Act, counties must review and revise their plans every 10 years. Counties that fail to meet the state's requirements may lose out on some funding. Kelly Rupp, the chair of the Pacific County Planning Commission, says Pacific County is uniquely in need of housing for the poorest households, in part because of the appeal of coastal living and the number of vacation homes. The Seaview area presents a particular conundrum. The county must plan for 89 affordable housing units there, but a land capacity analysis found that there is no capacity in the Seaview urban growth area to build most of these units without direct subsidy. According to Rupp, there is no simple solution in Seaview to help bridge the gap to satisfy state requirements. It's a dilemma that Pacific County is not facing alone. Many jurisdictions are unsure of how the state will respond to those who fail to meet the statutes. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. District of Columbia voters use ranked choice voting for the first time June 16th in D.C.'s Democratic primary. A group which helped to pass the reform reminds voters to vote for the best, rank the rest, don't rank candidates you detest. Pro-reform groups Grow Democracy and Rank the District spearheaded Initiative 83, which passed with almost 73% of the vote in 2024. Initially, the D.C. City Council dragged its feet on funding the reform, but finally appropriated the money last July. The election includes primaries for D.C. delegate to Congress, mayor, city council, and Democratic Party positions. In the past, city council candidates could get elected with as little as 20% of the vote, something which will change with ranked choice voting. Using RCV, if a candidate receives 50% of the vote, they win outright. If not, the lowest candidate is eliminated, and their next choice votes are reallocated in rounds until a candidate eventually reaches a majority. The process allows voters to choose their favorite without being a spoiler and can encourage more collegiality among candidates. Though the city and democracy groups have conducted education campaigns, a June 1st Washington Post poll found 44% of voters weren't aware RCV was being implemented. We've linked to D.C.'s ranked choice voting explainers at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.